Today on Family Talk.
If you feel like you're fighting with your child or teen every day, you've come to the right place. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Jim Veldheis, and on today's broadcast, Rebecca Haglund continues to discuss how to fight the culture instead of fighting your child. Rebecca is a savvy businesswoman, author, mother of three grown children, and a member of the board of directors here at Family Talk. She's also the president and CEO of Rebecca Haglund Communications and Marketing, LLC, and writes a family-focused column for the Washington Times. Let's join the broadcast now as she shares more tips on practical parenting in today's morally toxic society from her book, 30 Ways in 30 Days to Strengthen Your Family.
Well, Rebecca, you have written this wonderful new book, and it's really an extension and an updated version of what you wrote about earlier. So you've been thinking about this for a long time. It's called 30 Ways in 30 Days to Strengthen Your Family. It's going to be in the bookstores on May 1st, right around the corner, but people can get a copy of it by going online and get it in time for Mother's Day, and it would be a wonderful Mother's Day gift. But as a way of starting today, let's go back to where we began last time, talking about the dangers and the minefields that are out there for our children, especially our teens, in a toxic world. And to illustrate that, let me take you all back to a trip to Africa, a missionary trip that Shirley and I took with our son Ryan. He was 17 at the time, and Danae was already in college and gone, but we went to the Masai Mara. I don't know if you've ever been to that wonderful animal preserve there, wild animal preserve. And we got there on a rainy day when there was mud everywhere. The roads were not paved. And we were with a missionary, and we got stuck. We thought we were going to have to spend the night out there, and there were all kinds of dangerous animals all around us, and we were really concerned about it. And fortunately, a couple of natives came along with a double-wheeled truck and pulled us out. But we were afraid we were going to get stuck again. So we came to a parting of the road where you could go left and go down a ways, or you could go right and go down. And it was parallel roads that went about a solid city block or so. And Ryan was in the back seat, and he said, hey, we don't know which way we should go here. Let me get out, and I will run down the road, and I will signal to you which road is better, because one of them may be worse than the other. And he was ready to jump out, and the missionary said, Ryan, I don't think I would do that. You don't know what's out there. And so we decided to just take a chance, and we chose the one on the right side, and we were driving down, and we got to the end of that place where the roads came back together. And right in that junction was a big yellow-eyed lion, a big male lion. He was 10 feet off the main road, and he was just sitting there watching. And Ryan looked at that lion, and I looked at the lion. And he said, maybe I shouldn't have gotten out. And he was sure right about that. But that's kind of the way it is now. That's the culture. When your kids turn 12 or 13, you don't know exactly which road to take. And sometimes you make mistakes. And there are big lions lying in the grass off the road there waiting to have an influence or to grab your kids and hold them. I don't know if that illustrates it for anybody, but it does for me. That's the way I felt when my kids were going into adolescence. Rebecca, does that kind of say it?
Oh, it's powerful. And it's so interesting to me. I've never heard you say that story before, how God used, you know, scripture and made it come real for you in the form of a real lion. You know, when the Bible talks about Satan is like a lion, you know, prowling to and for, looking for whom he may devour. And he's after our children and our families because he comes to kill and destroy. That's what Satan is about. And God gave babies to moms and dads for a reason. It's so that we can protect them, so that we can teach our children the way, how to walk in the way of the Lord, so that we can equip and arm them and be there to guide them. And so many parents today feel so overwhelmed by the culture that they forget that their first calling after serving the Lord is to take care of their children and to serve the Lord by taking care of these beautiful gifts from the Lord that God has given us. And it is something that requires eternal vigilance. It requires daily being involved in their lives, letting them know that there is a God who loves them and knows their name and is there for them no matter what problems or temptations that they're facing, and to be honest and real with your children. And one of the things that I try to tell parents, if you start every single day purposely loving your children, you know, blessing them with those loving, meaningful touch and words of positive future and affirmation and telling them truth, and you converse with them every day, those wonderful things Gary Smalley talked about in the Jewish blessing. If you do that every day, when they're teenagers and they do face bigger and greater temptations, they're going to continue to talk to you because it's always been natural for them to talk to you.
You're the best friend they've got.
Yeah. Rebecca, you talk in one area about principles versus preferences and teaching kids your principles and standing on your principles versus living your preferences. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. Let me just give you an example. One of the things that is a preference is, you know, when my boys were teenagers and in my home, my preference would be that they had a specific hairstyle, right? Something that would have been my preference, that they would have had a hairstyle that my friend thought was good.
Yeah.
But my principle is that, look, they always have to be clean and they need to be present themselves respectfully. But I had to listen to them about what their preference were on things like hairstyles. And so when you sit down and you start thinking about those things that you will not compromise on and those things that, you know, at the end of the day, it probably doesn't really matter if my daughter has some temporary green or purple dye in her hair and some streaks. You see what I'm saying? It makes for understanding where they're coming in from in their lives. You know, another one would be, you know, my preference is to just get along with everybody. You know, who doesn't want to be liked and get along with everyone? But the principle is to stand up for what is right, regardless of if it causes you to lose, quote, friends, unquote. You know, another preference was, you know, who doesn't want to be a cool mom, right? Who doesn't want to be known as the cool mom? That's a preference. But the principle is to challenge your children and their friends to tower above the toxic culture and to lose a little bit of the coolness factor and instead replace that with a factor of, that's the dependable mom that I can always go to for truth, who's going to stand beside me. So I have a little exercise in the book to help parents figure out the differences between principles and preferences.
Well, I appreciate that because I think that it's very confusing and hard for many parents now who have teen or young adult children who disagree with them on some of their principles. You know, marriage, for instance, could be a principle they disagree with versus living together. And unfortunately, many young people are trained to believe that if we disagree with them, then we're phobic. We're phobic of everything. And I think we need to teach our children, you know, I disagree with you in principle, but I still love you and I still want you around. And we can dialogue about this. We don't have to be pushed so far away. I see that creeping into parenting, and that's a bit disturbing.
Let me see if I can express what we're talking about here in a principle of its own. When the issue is something that does not have long-term moral or physical significance, compromise on everything that you can with your kids.
Yes.
But
yes.
If it is a moral principle, if it is a biblical principle, if it is truth versus evil, if it is right versus wrong, then you stand like a rock.
Beautifully said.
Yes, because if you as a parent talk to them, let's talk about sexual purity. Mm-hmm. If you even give your child the inkling that it's okay to be sexually active outside of marriage, then what you're telling them is it might be okay to be sexually active outside of marriage. You have to stand for truth and for God's principles. And remember, in most cases in their lives, you are going to be the only one that is going to tell them the truth.
Right.
Because 8 hours a day at school, when they're on the television, when they're online, when they're talking to their peers, the culture is going to tell them every lie and everything to compromise on.
That's the scary part.
Only truth. That's the scary part. And again, God gave children an innate, internal, intrinsic desire for their mothers and fathers to speak truth into their lives. Mm-hmm. And that's what we as parents often forget, that our kids look to us first and foremost for truth. And if we at all hint to them that some things we can compromise on, like sexual purity, then they are going to go the way of the world on that because mom and dad have opened the door for it. Mm-hmm. So it's really critical to understand that we are to be the truth tellers to them, and we're supposed to explain to them why and show them why. And that's where, you know, having great teachings like yours, Dr. Meg, and yours, Dr. Dobson, and this book where I try to compile it on a lot of different issues, really become important resources for parents. We have to go out and seek the resources that hold up the biblical worldview, because it is God's rules for society that end up being the very best rules and bring life and hope and joy to human beings, because he's the one who designed us, and he's the one who can tell us how we're going to work and find true fulfillment.
In the program yesterday, you made reference, you really made a major point out of the need for prayer during those teen years especially. And I obviously agree with that passionately. But I also think you should start when they're in babyhood. You know, there is nothing that matters more than getting your children into the hands of Jesus Christ. And in the kind of world we live in, you need all the help you can get. And the Lord cares about those issues. And to ask for wisdom and ask for strength to help you make the right decisions and pray for them every day. Every day.
Yes.
And, you know, and the Lord will be there.
And, you know, I've got one chapter on how to develop a daily family quiet time with the Lord. And I will say in that chapter, one of my regrets of now being a mother of three adult children is that even though we were Christian, my husband and I, and we did work really hard to raise our children in the Lord, we got so busy that we didn't make every day a family devotional time. I regret the lost hours that we had lost forever when they were young, to teach them daily about God and His worth and go to Him. Now, they understand now, right? And we make it a part of our time when they're with us now, but your point is well taken. Don't lose those opportunities to pour scripture into them on a daily basis. Don't get so caught up in doing good and activities that you forget to do what's right and to show them truth on a daily basis. So one of the things I hope to do with this book is to teach parents how to make it a natural part of their home. That daily time and the prayer and, you know, even it's just a few minutes, and how to make it individual and purposeful and meaningful to your children. Mm-hmm.
You know, Rebecca, you're absolutely right. What would you tell the mother or father who would hear you say that and go, but you don't understand? Our life in the evening is so busy, or during the day, because all I do is run my kids to activities. I don't have time for quiet devotions or prayer.
Yes. Well, I would say there's not one right way to have devotion or prayer or to put scripture in front of your children. You know, I had one father tell me he made it a habit every night before he went to bed to leave a note on the bathroom counter that his son or daughter would see, with a scripture verse for the day, with an encouraging word. When you're in the car with your children, turn off the radio music for a little bit and talk to them about their day and remind them that God loves them and He's there for them, and give them a verse. You can actually work it into your normal way of living, leaving little reminders. One of the things I love to do with my daughter when she was growing up is I would occasionally sneak into her bathroom and I would take bright red lipstick and I would write on her mirror a scripture verse or a reminder about how much I love her. And she would often keep those up for a very long time before she would gradually clean them off.
You didn't hear one of them say, "Oh, Mom!"
Never! Yeah, never! Because, and I've had another parent share tips. They would put a little child, when their child was a young kid in grade school, they would put a note in their lunchbox about how much they love their child.
Or I would write on napkins. I would write on napkins in the brown paper bag. And I know it embarrassed the kids, but oh well. You know, this note from your mom falls out underneath your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But you know what? Kids love that, and they don't even want to throw those napkins away.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, one of the things, too, that, you know, while we're talking about my regret of not always doing a good job of that on a daily basis, is a lot of parents listening right now have regrets. Their children may be teenagers, and they may say, "I've never done any of the things you guys have told me about. It's too late. I made horrible mistakes." And one of the key messages that Jesus gives us, and I try to reflect in every page of this book, as long as there is breath in you, it is never too late to start building a relationship with your child,
Absolutely. To
start showing God's unconditional love for them. The great message of Christianity is about forgiveness and redemption and starting over with each new day. So as long as there is breath in you, make it a point to start loving your child. If you've made mistakes, take your child to dinner, your teenager, and say, "You know what? I'm just taking you out tonight because I just wanted some time to tell you I'm sorry for the times I failed you. I'm sorry for the times I got angry and yelled, or I was in compromising situations. And I hope you'll forgive me, and I want to work better on being a better example for you and showing you the unconditional love of Christ and how He has His hand on your life, and how if we both follow Him, our lives will be more fulfilling, and that I'm always here for you." Those are powerful things that can help correct a lot of ills along the way.
Life-changing.
Rebecca, you write in chapter 2, why is it so important to be future-minded when raising your kids? What do you mean by that?
Well, again, it goes back to a scripture verse. I mean, the scripture is very, very clear to us that we have to think about vision and the future. You know, there's the beautiful verse that without a vision, the people perish. I mean, that's straight from Scripture, from Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And in today's world, with all the noise, all the electronics, all the activity, the teaching in schools that we're all just here by accident, that it's evolution, that we're just cells and that babies are disposable because they're just a glob of cells. Oh, my goodness, it's no wonder that the suicide rate is so high among teenagers and college kids. I mean, the world teaches them that they're just here by accident and their lives are disposable and they don't mean anything. God says something very different. God says that he has a vision to do us good and not to harm us, that he has a plan for our lives. And so one of the things I teach parents in that chapter is to sit down, take some time and say, what is the vision you have for your child? Mm-hmm. Not what they will do. I want my daughter to be a doctor or my son to be a teacher or whatever. But what kind of human being do you want your child to become? Do you want them to feel loved and fulfilled and be marked by integrity and character and fidelity and understand the beauty of who God is and your purpose in life? If those are the things that you want for your child, then the second step is you step back and say, okay, now what am I doing every day to show that vision to my child, to mm-hmm. teach them that they have value in his life, to model character and fidelity? And having that conversation with their child about their vision gives them hope and love, and it knows that there's a God who loves them, who calls them by name. And it can change the whole outlook of their lives. Then when they fail in sports or if they do a bad grade on a test, they don't feel like a failure because they know that they have love and purpose and value in God's eyes and in your eyes. Mm-hmm.
Rebecca, this is not necessarily a book that you'll start on page one and you work through to the very last chapter and the last word. You might want to find what your need is and go in the index and find where that's written about. Is that your plan?
Yes, exactly. I mean, the book was written for busy moms and dads who don't have time to read a lot of philosophy about parenting but want real practical help. So I actually encourage parents to go to the table of contents, look through what's there, and if you're having a problem with creating family time, go and read that chapter first. If your problem is how to help your daughter dress respectfully, go to that chapter first. You know, if you've got a problem with pornography in your household, my goodness, go to that chapter first. And then make your way back to other chapters as you have the need for them.
Well, I'm glad I asked you that question because that's a very important understanding for what you set out to do here. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Rebecca Hagelin, who has written a new book, a new version of the book, 30 Ways in 30 Days to Strengthen Your Family. We could talk about this book for 2 or 3 weeks and not get to the end of it because there's so much practical information in here that goes in many different directions, and all of them are relevant to the day-by-day life of families. Rebecca, thank you for writing this book and for being our guests on these two programs. I agree with everything that you've laid down here. We're just right on the verge of what's called a street date, May 1st, when it's going to be in stores all over the country. And people can get the book before that by going online and ordering a copy for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. And I think that would be a great gift and a great way to be of help to other families in your neighborhood or whoever you influence. But anyway, thank you, Rebecca, for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me on the program.
And Rebecca, thank you for serving on the board of directors of Family Talk. You make a great contribution.
Well, thank you. You know, it's one of my greatest honors and privileges to do that. One of the most important things I do in my life is to serve with both of you in Family Talk. So thank you.
This two-day broadcast is just full of great parenting advice, and we barely scratched the surface. There's more great advice in her book, 30 Ways in 30 Days to Strengthen Your Family. You know, this program and Rebecca's book would make great Mother's Day gifts. Contact us at 877-732-6825 or online at drjamesdobson.org to find out how you can get these resources. With Mother's Day just around the corner, we're reaching out to moms in a very special way. Moms, we want to know what matters most to you. We want to ensure that our broadcasts and digital resources continue to meet your needs as a mom. Go to drjamesdobson.org/blessmoms to take our 2-minute survey and sign up for a chance to win a free gift basket for moms. Again, go to drjamesdobson.org/blessmoms and let us hear from you. I'm Jim Veldheis. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.